We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
It's a wonderful Tuesday in Brevard County. We welcome you today to WMIE 91.5 FM right here in Cocoa, Florida. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, and the saints there at that wonderful church believe strongly in getting the Word of God out into the community. And so that is why this program is on the air. We want this to be a word that refreshes you, revives you, resurrects you, inspires you to seek the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, to know Jesus Christ in such a way that it empowers you to love like you've never loved before, with an unconditional love for Him that just grows and grows. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse number 1 says, pursue love. And so we've been talking at church about pursuing greatness, and we've been talking about I still haven't preached this message yet, pursuing great faithfulness. And we have talked about pursuing great service, and we have been talking about pursuing great love that now abides faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. And then chapter 14, verse 1 says, pursuing love. There is so much that God wants to do in us and through us. And he wants you to be great in the kingdom of God, great in the things that have eternal significance. You see, you can be the greatest football player that ever lived, only to be surpassed by someone else. Guinness Book of World Records is constantly being revised with people who had achieved great things, but only to be achieved by or surpassed by people who did even greater things. I remember they thought that the 4-minute mile was a record that would never be passed, and once it was broken over and over and over again. You see, sometimes we just need to embrace the reality that God is capable of bringing kingdom greatness more than we've comprehended. I don't want to get to heaven and find out that I lived beneath the provision that God had for me to live in. Today we are going to be once again looking at the fruit of the Spirit, which is peace. It is contentment. It is soundness in body, soul, spirit, finances, relationships. It is harmonious relationships. It is a safe relationship where you cannot be assaulted. It is a peace that comes from order and rest and contentment. And so those are all provisions. In yesterday's broadcast, we looked at the message that God has. It originated in the heart of God, and it still echoes through the halls of humanity that God wants mankind to be at peace with Him, and Jesus Christ came to make that peace possible. May we go forth with the message of peace. Today, we're going to look at three individuals in Luke chapter 2, Luke chapter 7, and Luke chapter 8. And we're going to see that God not only wants you to have episodic peace or occurrences of peace, He just doesn't want you to have a peace today but not tomorrow, but God wants you to have a journey of peace. And so Luke chapter 2 is where we're going to begin today. So I'm going to turn over there with you today. Luke chapter 2. This is the chapter of the birth of Jesus, and it's when he is taken to the temple. And while he is there, his parents encounter Simeon. And let me just read to you just a little bit about Simeon, and then I'll get into what Simeon declares over Jesus. And verse number 25, Luke chapter 2, verse number 25, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he, Simeon, took him, Jesus, up in his arms and blessed God and said, 'Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel.'" If I were to do this in a chronological aspect, I might do these three things in a different order, but these are the sequence in which they appear in the Gospel of Luke. So let me describe this to you in a manner that may just be my observation, but it comes from a lot of observation. And that is, there is peace for the elderly. There is peace that God has provided for the elderly. And from my interactions, from my experiences when I was working in retail, I found that the older that people tended to get, that many times they became crankier, they became grumpier. There was a series of movies that was called Grumpy Old Men, and I think the sequel was Grumpier Old Men. The older that we tend to get, the less time we realize that we have, the less patience we have with certain things around us, and things that we once embraced with joy, now we look on and we don't want to have any endurance for it at all. And as a result of that, we become cranky, we become grumpy, and then people don't want to be around us, and then that makes us even crankier and grumpier. And we deprive ourselves of peace in our older years that God wants to have for us. Simeon was a man, it has great things to say about him. He was a just man, he was a devout man, he was a godly man, he was a patient man, he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. He was a person who knew what it was like to have fellowship with the Holy Spirit, to hear from the Holy Spirit, to know that it was a thus saith the Lord word for him, to hold on to that promise. He knew what it was like to be expectant. And so when Jesus came that day, he saw the provision of God that had been promised to him. He was ready to make a declaration over that child that I believe he had been wanting to make for quite some time. And he said this, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word." He knew that God was a God who kept his word. And so we see in Simeon that there was a journey of peace from this life to the next life that he was now ready to embrace, because he knew that he had a harmonious relationship with God, and he knew that God is a God who keeps his word. He had just seen it in his own life. You see, Simeon saw the reality of Jesus' identity without having to see him go to the cross. He didn't have to hear Jesus speak to realize the seed that God had created in him, that this was the child of God. And he realized not just the present condition, but the fully developed potential before it was ever there. And he said, God, I have seen with my own eyes, and according to your word, I know this, that my journey from this point forward is going to be one of peace. Let me ask you, what does your journey, if you had to describe your journey right now, what word would you use to describe it? There's a lot of things that show up on social media, and I'll be honest with you, that's a lot of that I think is just people who are looking to try and gain information on people so that they can use it to take advantage of their personalities. Where did I meet you? You know, where were you born and all that sort of stuff? Well, I was born in the hospital. That's where I was born. That's all you really need to know. I thought that almost all babies were born in a hospital until right before my grandmother died. I flew into Tulsa one day. We went straight from the airport to my grandmother, and my dad said, "That's the house I was born in." He said, "You mean that's the house where you were born, or where you lived right after you were born?" He said, "No, that's where I was born, right there in that house." And I was like, "Huh. Isn't that interesting?" And so, but there are many people who, you know, they don't have a peace. They see their skills being diminished. They see themselves being marginalized by society, that they realize that their time is short. They're frustrated by, you know, I heard a person said, you know, "I'm sure by now you thought you would have accomplished more. You would have seen greater things accomplished, but you haven't yet." And instead of being frustrated by that, I want to urge you to continue to be faithful to God and allow God to birth this declaration that Simeon uttered and say this: God, according to your word, you have been faithful. God, according to your word, you are faithful. You will be faithful. And I am going to journey with you from this point forward in a peace that has come into my life as a manifestation from heaven. In Luke chapter 7, we find a woman who has Jesus declare over her. And then in Luke chapter 8, Jesus declares it over another woman. In chapter 7, we find that Jesus has gone to the home of a Pharisee, and he is there to eat. And while he is there, a woman, and it says in verse number 37, that a woman in that city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus was at the table, I'm going to shorten this, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at his feet and behind him weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with fragrant oil. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself, saying, "Isn't it interesting that when we talk to ourselves, God knows what we're saying? Saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." You see, Jesus knew what was going on. Let me tell you what Jesus said. He said, "Do you see this woman?" This is verse number 44. "I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my feet or my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little." Then he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." And those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? Isn't it interesting? He knew what Simon was saying in his saying to himself, and now he knows what they are saying. Then he said to the woman in verse 50, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. This woman was a sinner. She had not come there in peace. She came there with a reputation. She had a reputation that caused people to distance themselves from her instead of want to draw close to her. How she got into the house, I do not know. But she made her way in there. And she had treasure stored up that no one knew that she had. She had an alabaster flask filled with fragrant, very expensive oil. And she was there that day not to gain an eternal reputation. She was simply there to worship. I want to encourage you, when you come to church on Wednesday night or Sunday or Saturday or whenever you do, that when you come into the presence of God to worship, that you do it to worship a wonderful Savior who loved sinners, not to gain a reputation for yourself, but to enhance the reputation of the one you are worshiping. She was a sinner who came to worship, and as a result of her worship, her sins were forgiven. Her name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And he said this, your faith has saved you. Every person listening to the sound of my voice has been given the measure of faith. The measure of faith that is necessary to believe that Jesus Christ is the Lord of the world. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is the Savior who died upon the cross to forgive you of your sins and to see your names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, so that you would be plucked from the road that leads to destruction and placed on the road that leads to life. You see, he didn't come to save you to leave you on the same path that you were on. If you have said a prayer but you didn't change course, you just uttered some words. But God has come to change your course. You may have come in turmoil. You may have come with a past reputation for all of your failures instead of your successes. But today I want to encourage you to activate your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is bigger than your past. He is better to you than human beings have been to you. He is able to forgive you of your sins. But in doing so, and in declaring that salvation has come to you, that the shalom of God has come to you, that this harmonious relationship with God that has brought soundness to every aspect of your being, he leaves this woman with this declaration, go in peace. From this point forward, may your journey be one of peace. Mary Magdalene had been delivered from 7 demons, and she became a faithful follower of Jesus Christ. Her journey after a Christ encounter was one of wholeness instead of one of division and destruction, turmoil, pain, suffering. You see, the devil wants to destroy you. Jesus came to give you life. He came for you to have abundant life. And he says, may your journey from this point forward be different. Don't continue to do the same things that you did before. You see, your peace is not found in your promotion at work. Your peace is not found in your house or in your car. Your peace is not found in the heart of another person. Your peace, your wholeness is found in your relationship with Jesus Christ. And that relationship should change your journey. It should change the way that you travel. So, just as Simeon said, I am ready to enter eternity. My journey into eternity from this life to the next life, I'm ready to make it in peace. I don't have any doubts. I don't have any fears. I don't have any worries. I am ready to go because you are a faithful God. And this woman is told by Jesus, because you have activated your faith, because you have not withheld anything from me, I am bringing salvation to you. Your faith has saved you. And from this point forward, your journey is going to look different. Do you ever take a different route to work just so that you see different things? Back when the hurricanes had hit, I took a drive through parts of the community that I don't normally travel in just to see how the landscape had changed or if the landscape was still the same. And today, I want to tell you that God has a different journey for you. Rather than strife and discord and pain and confrontation on every turn, he has a journey for you of peace. A similar declaration is made in chapter 8. There is a woman who interrupts the journey that Jesus is making to raise Jairus' daughter from the dead. This woman reaches out, grabs hold of the hem of his garment, and you can see it in verse number 43. Now, a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years, who had spent all her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any, came from behind and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her flow of blood stopped. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied it, Peter and those with him said, "Master, the multitudes throng and press you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus said, "Somebody touched me, for I perceived power going out from me." Now when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared to him in the presence of all the people the reason she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he said to her, "Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace." This was not just a situation where a woman had a chronic health condition that was impeding her physical capabilities. Whenever you had an issue of blood like this, you were deemed unclean. That meant you were ostracized from society. That meant you were to be cut off from fellowship, from your family, from your neighbors. It was a devastating issue to have going on in your life. It cut this woman off from relationship. Instead of having harmonious relationships, she felt isolated. Isn't it interesting that if you watch many documentaries, you will find that the predator is looking to isolate his prey from the rest of society? And this woman, now, you know, I'm sure that the journey to Jairus' house could have gone a lot of different ways, but on that day, there was a woman who said, "Jesus is passing by me." And there may be a crowd of people who don't want to have anything to do with me. I might have been rejected. Listen, I've been rejected by so many people and I used to have a tremendous fear of rejection. And it's still not anything that I relish or embrace. But when I discovered that Jesus had been rejected by men but exalted by God, I soon found that rejection did not have to be fatal. This woman found herself surrounded by people she wasn't supposed to be in contact with, touching for them, and she was looking down at a level that nobody else was looking at. She was down at ground level. You see, you can't be standing up and grab hold of the hem of Jesus' garment. You had to be down where it was, and there was something that had risen in her life that said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, if I can just have an encounter with something that is touching God, it will change my life. And there was virtue, there was power of the Lord that flowed through Jesus' garment that stopped him in his tracks and said, someone has just tapped into divine resources, and I want to meet that person. See, I don't just want to be, hallelujah. I don't want to be just someone who has an opportunity to be in the presence of Jesus. I want to be that person that when Jesus comes and we have an encounter, that I'm tapping into divine resources that is going to leave me changed for the glory of God. And Jesus had a declaration for this woman, and he has a declaration for you and I. This woman came and confessed everything that she'd done. She said, I had an issue of blood. It had gone on for 12 years. It's a chronic condition. I'm technically unclean. You and I, we're not supposed to be having this conversation. I'm not supposed to be rubbing shoulders with these people, but I'm not the lady now that I was 5 minutes ago, because something has flowed from you into me, and it has transformed me. And Jesus didn't condemn her. He said, you are my daughter. He said, daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Go in peace. Today, you may think that you're all alone, but I want to remind you that you have a heavenly Father who knows the hairs on your head, who knows how tall you are, knows everything you have been through, knows the thoughts and intents of your heart and in your life, knows how every person alive has ever treated you. There's not one detail in your life that has escaped his attention. And today, he says, I want you to know, if you have asked Jesus to forgive you of your sins and be the Lord of your life, if you've tapped into divine resources that brought salvation into your life, you are my child. Hallelujah. That's a good word. He says, be of good cheer. The faith that I gave to you has made you well. God wants you and I to be made whole, so that our journey from this point forward is not identified by our affliction, but by the one who conquered that affliction. And so today, I pray that you, whether you're male, female, young, or old, whether you're sick, or whether you just have a reputation in the community of being a sinner, whether you've hurt people, or whether you you're right now, everybody thinks you got everything going well. Today, I pray that you have an encounter with Jesus, that you will see, God, you are faithful to your word, the good words, the promises of God. You are also faithful that when you tell us what's to come without you, God, today, may every person listening to the sound of my voice go forth in peace. See you next time right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.